Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 334 shopping days left until Christmas, and you know what that means. It means it's time for a whole brand new season of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. My name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight, as always, are my good pals and co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, John. How are you?
Oh, I've been worse.
But you've been better, haven't you? Is that the vibe I'm getting off of you tonight?
I didn't say that. You said that.
I shouldn't have put those words in your mouth, and I apologize. I really do. You know, we got to start the new year off with some good vibes for once.
Yeah, fuck you, Joe.
Yeah, there you go. That's the spirit. That's the J5 we've come to know and love. Anywho, Mr. Bradford is here as well. Brad.
Bringing some very good energy into the show there. Johnny Five.
Man, I was snowed in for 3 days and I couldn't get my damn medicine until today, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's actually pretty rough.
There's nothing to let you know that your medicine actually works, like not taking it for a couple days and just your brain falls apart.
It's nice to have that confirmation, though. Speaking of medicine, daddy needs his medicine.
I didn't hear
tangy
that.
Pee.
I didn't hear a can crack, Brad, from what you got working with.
I have a bottle. It's the last holdout. I've been saving it in the fridge for this very moment. The last holdout of Christmas.
Oh, no, it's not
beers.
Ecto Cooler, is it?
Yes, I've been saving it since childhood. It is a Victory Merry Monkey. It's a Belgian with cranberry, orange peel, cinnamon, and nutmeg. I'm a fan.
That sounds lovely.
Yes.
So I found at the store Flamin' Hot Cool Ranch Doritos.
What?
Okay.
Okay.
And I looked up a review of them. My personal review of them is like the Flamin' Hot comes after the Cool Ranch. Not quite the sequence you want.
It's the icy hot of Doritos.
Yeah. But I found a website called Taquitos.net where this guy just reviews every single like snack food he could find, and one of them was reviewing a 15-year-old bag of Doritos.
Oh no!
Just straight up Doritos, but
they were Cooler Ranch.
Okay, 15 years old though.
Yeah, 15-year-old Cooler Ranch Doritos, which are the out of all the Doritos, probably one of the ones you don't want to have 15 years old. Any of the ones that have any sort of dairy product on them.
Did they? Yeah, had they turned into dust? Like,
he said that they were still in one piece. They were absolutely rancid from like the ranch, whatever on them, and they were kind of stale, but they still held their shape.
Much like everything from 2007. Heyo.
I'm sorry to interrupt your beer nerdery with look at this cool thing I found on the internet though.
No, that's way cooler than what I was doing, so it's fine.
All right.
And hey, speaking of the last holdouts, you know, why not grip it and rip it?
Yes. What do you have?
I have the very last Wicked Weed Brewing Pernicious IPA that's been in my refrigerator for, I kid you not, since Super Bowl Sunday of 2019.
Wowzers.
Is that even still drinkable?
We gonna find out, kids.
That's from the before times. That's times beer.
This is from the long, long ago, yeah.
Whoa.
No, we held a small Super Bowl party here at the house with, I guess it's 3 years ago now. And it was a BYOB affair. One of our friends brought a giant case of these Wicked Weed IPAs and had like three of them, and he just left them for me, not realizing that I am not an IPA man. But I've grown to love it because it's the only way I'm going to get rid of it.
Sometimes you just have to do that.
Sometimes the only way out is through.
Correct. I have a bottle of body wash in my shower that I have a similar situation with. Didn't like it. The Mrs. hated how it smelled, but I'm finishing this dumb bottle of body wash. I don't even like body wash. I don't know why I bought it.
What scent is it, if I may ask?
It's the hair. It's like Harry's whatever, pine, whatever. It's fine.
Is it the one that makes you smell like a rock or a tree or a woolly mammoth
or a fig? I smell like I've run through a pine forest after I'm done. It's not unpleasant, but it's just a different situation when you've been working with Dial for 20 plus years, you know?
I mean, I get beard oil that's in the general direction, but like you don't put that everywhere, though.
Yeah, I think Harry's kind of missed the memo on that one.
This episode is brought to you by soap that makes you smell like dirt.
This episode was brought to you by that shampoo and conditioner all-in-one I found that was like the only decent one I've ever had, and I can't find it again. I know it had a grapefruit on the bottle, and I think it was Garnier. Someone please help.
It's a weird double standard we've established in this country where, you know, ladies get shampoo that makes you pretend to have an orgasm, and guys get shampoo that makes you smell like a rock. I think we got the rough end of the stick on that one.
Well, I have not cut my hair since well before the before time, so I have to use, like, real shampoo.
Oh, well.
John is in the shower, like, whipping his hair around, just like in the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mental image I have to live with for the rest of my life.
Well, yeah, that's on you.
Wicked weed, here we come.
Speaking of own-goaling your own brain, I posted Wizards Christmas every day in our private chat, and now I've had it stuck in my head all day, and I don't think it had the effect on any of you gentlemen, probably because you didn't watch it.
No, I definitely did, and I was very delighted by it.
You've heard this song before, yes?
I think vaguely at some point, but I've never actually like sat and paid attention and watched the video for it before.
It is very good. It is very 70s, and it is very stuck in my head still.
It's from that. See, it's a thing that we don't have here in the U.S. where every year the U.K. tries to, you know, have its, like, everybody tries to get the number one Christmas single every year.
Yeah.
And like bands would just put out Christmas songs to try and compete for this. And this was Wizard's song that year, and it was only beaten by the band Slade with Merry Christmas Everybody, which is an even better song.
Yeah, they really got kind of,
isn't this
kind
the
of
thing that Killing the Name won one year?
Yeah, they tried to like do a protest vote and we got Rage Against the Machine to win that year. This is like 2009, I want to say.
That sounds like a very 2009 thing to do.
Kind of. But anyway, gents, hey, welcome to Season 8 of Christmas Creeps.
Oh my goodness.
If you've made it this far, congratulations, I love you. And welcome to a ridiculous ride that is never ever going to stop.
It's Christmas every day.
That's a Christmas Creeps guarantee. But no, we are the Christmas podcast that swears, and I hope you're fucking okay with that. If you're not, that's okay. We have plenty of friends who are happy to have you. But if you are a fan of ours, we definitely encourage you to shoot us a line at xmascreeps@gmail.com. Like these two gents did, we have some listener mail we want to kick off the show with this year. We got some very exciting emails right around about Christmas time. And one of them honestly, genuinely, truly floored me. And that's the one I'm going to start with tonight. So I'll just cut to the chase. We got an email from the director of one of the films we made fun of.
Yeah, I got like a severed horse's head from Ron Howard.
No. That was me pretending to be Ron Howard. I'm sorry.
Oh, fuck. I already sold that thing on eBay. Damn it.
Hey, I would like a cut of those profits.
Well, hey, if anybody out there is really good at forging like certificates of authenticity, hit me up.
Fair enough. No, we got an email from Brian Michael Stoller, the director of Santa Stole Our Dog.
Oh, no.
When I saw the tagline hit our inbox, I was genuinely terrified because I thought, oh, no, somebody found out about us and we're in big trouble. But no, Mr. Stoller was actually thrilled that we even watched his movie.
Stand-up guy, Mr. Dodo.
Mr. Dodo himself, Mr. Stoller, is, you know, he's a cool dude, and we appreciate you. I just want to read you a little bit here. He says, I just listened to your full podcast for Santa Stole Our Dog. I sincerely, thoroughly enjoyed it. You were spot on with many of your observations about the film, And then he points out, like, we made fun of the fact that there was a very small production team. He says, I am actually the writer, producer, director, editor, gopher, set builder, and coffee maker on the film. And you know what? I got to respect that.
Yeah, and I want to be clear with that. When we say that, we're making a reference to The Critic, where Jay's student film listed him as the writer, director, producer, main star, and caterer.
Mm-hmm. Craft services.
Yes. Uh-oh.
Is there...
Is that a siren?
That's a siren I just heard. They're coming to get us for movie libel.
Oh, no.
The trap has been sprung. No. I read this email, too, and he was super nice, and I feel a little bit bad for bagging on his movie, because, you know, you do the best with what you got.
Yeah, I mean, you did a better damn job than the Karate Christmas Miracle guy.
Yes.
I give you that every single day of the week.
True.
But no, Brian Michael Stuller, if you're still listening, we appreciate you, and we're so thrilled that you listened to our show and took the time to write to us.
If we get an email from that guy, I'll just give that guy the address of a random McDonald's parking lot and just tell him I'll fight his son. I won't be there, but I mean, I'll just tell him.
I pulled that trick in middle school, and it was very satisfying. True story.
You can't just leave us. You can't just leave us with that. Come on, dish girlfriend.
No, some kid in middle school, I was in seventh grade, and this kid threatened to, like, beat me up. Mind you, this was, like, a 5-foot-tall little shrimpy kid, and I was just edging up towards 6 feet at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like you try to pick out the biggest kid in the school, in the yard, and just kick his ass.
Prison rules. Okay.
And I was like, yeah, okay, fine. I'll meet you back behind the school buses after school. Okay, fine. I'll be there. And then I just fucking went home. And the next day he was like, dude, what the fuck, you said we were gonna fight. And I just kind of laughed and went, you stayed late after school. Fucking idiot.
Hey everybody, lovely. This guy's chasing after school because he likes books.
That was my closest encounter with a fight, and I'm pretty sure if he could have fought me, he would have. Oh boy, good times, great oldies. But we also have a second email to address tonight. We got an email from a listener named Mike, a new listener. Welcome to the show, Mike. And I was a little bit starstruck because apparently this man works for Stern Pinball. And for all of the ways that we, you know, use this show to basically, like, stop and try to analyze movies that have pinball machines in them, this guy was very appreciative of that fact. Mike says, I love your podcast. I wasn't able to listen to every episode since there are so many, but every year at Christmas from now on, I will catch up as best I can. I've listened to all your stocking stuffers, and I've gotten up through your Christmas shoes episode. But he also says that, you know, he works for Stern Pinball, and he appreciates the fact that we stop our show dead in its tracks to try and figure out what pinball machine is featured in a certain scene.
As one does. As one should. Always.
As one should. But yeah, I remember we definitely wasted a lot of time on that with Reindeer Games, and we did it with Bad Santa as well. And every time a pinball machine appears, we'll do our level best. Is all I can say.
Sometimes, like, we didn't mention it in Home Sweet Home Alone. That's because it just, like, you could tell what it was.
Remind me, Joan, what was it?
I honestly don't remember, but I was like, you could just see the backlash there. It was just like, yeah, there it is.
Okay, yeah. But when it's just, like, the side of the cabinet with, like, a certain weird design, we're big enough nerds that we kind of have to stop and go, what is that? Let's try and figure this out.
Yeah, the fun is getting, like, half of the side of, like, the insert coin button and being like, I think I know what that one is.
Yes.
I think that's Earthshaker. And sometimes we're right, and sometimes we're mega turbo wrong. But that's the fun of the game. But also, Mike turned us on to the subject of this week's episode, a Christmas short from 1986 titled Christmas Every Day. Now, gentle friends, first impressions of Christmas Every Day. Let's just jump straight into it.
Do you remember the Family Guy pinball machine?
Yes. I do.
There's a reskin of it that's at the Shrek machine, and I played it once at a CC's Pizza, and instead of the Stewie mini pinball, it's Donkey mini pinball, except the Donkey figurine was missing off the playfield because it was a CC's Pizza.
Because it was a CC's Pizza, and they slammed it into the game center, and then for...
yes. And then for like, it still takes quarters, it's technically working.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
When, like... the left flipper sends the ball up 2 inches.
Yeah, the first time I played Twilight Zone, it was like that. Oh, man. And it kind of made me sad.
That's a shame. Like you want to find a pinball place that actually takes care of their machines and not just, you know, whatever was going to keep the kids happy.
I remember one time I played a pinball Twilight Zone in a Chinese restaurant. Like Pearls, I was too young to appreciate it though. Pearls before swine.
Oof, yeah.
The other problem is eventually with the people that take care of the pinball machines, they realize this will get a lot less damaged at home.
That's the truth. Yeah. That's certainly the truth. One of our local pinball places made that exact calculation and took all, like, 18 of his pinball machines and just took them to his house.
I don't fucking blame him. Not at all.
Not a lick. But yeah, so anyway, our new listener, new friend Mike, turned us on to this week's topic of discussion. It's a 1986 Christmas short titled Christmas Every Day, based on a short story by... What's his name? Edgar Rice Burroughs? No, that can't be right.
Edward James Olmos?
Edgar Wright Burroughs?
Philip Seymour? No.
The middle name is definitely Dean because I was like, it's Richard Dean Anderson.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan? No, it's William Dean Howells.
Jimmy Dean Sausages.
Professor? No.
I got one more. Alan Dean Foster.
The Star Wars guy?
Did he write Star Wars stuff?
Alan Dean Foster, yeah, he wrote a bunch of like the original Star Wars books. Splinter of the Mind's Eye. I think the official like episode 4 adaptation. Wow, we're getting way off into the weeds, like off the jump.
Yeah, he wrote the original novelization, like ghostwriting of George Lucas. I did not know that, and I had that damn book.
Yeah, it's a great book. But no, Christmas Every Day, based on an 1892 short story by William Dean Howells, a writer who he's in the tradition of like American realist authors like Henry James and Edith Wharton. And like, I already want to fall asleep talking about this guy.
I'm losing like context. Is this like if Norman Rockwell wrote stuff instead of painted stuff? Is that
basically,
what we're kind of going for?
Basically, okay. Yes.
Okay. That helps a lot, actually.
I took an entire college course on American realist literature, and all I can tell you is Henry James wrote books. That's all I remember from that entire course. But no. So this is a short story about a girl who wishes that Christmas could be every day. And the horrifying consequences that happen therein when this actually comes to pass.
So this is an animated feature.
Yes.
From 86. And it's in that paper doll animation style where everything kind of has joints. You know, the faces are still animated using sort of traditional methods. But you can tell that a lot of sort of the motion is pivoting these paper dolls.
It reminds me a lot of, in terms of how much it creeps me out, I should say. Of stuff like Angela Anaconda.
Thank you. We were talking about this before we started, and this is exactly what I thought of too.
It's just a little unsettling because it's a little weird, and a little bit of it's because it's kind of, I don't really want to say bad, but I do kind of want to say bad as well. It's a little janky in an unsettling way.
I think for Angela Anaconda, that was kind of the point, but I'm wondering if that was the intention here or not. And I'm going to go with no.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this was more kind of a pointed attempt to make it seem
like a storybook.
In step with like a storybook, like the style of the story that's being told. Yeah.
Yes.
And to kind of give you a better picture of like what the animation kind of looks like, it's like a Terry Gilliam sort of animation, but not sarcastic and creepy, you know? It's very much that style, but very sincere and very much for children.
Yeah, and this had to have been, this was like CBS primetime, wasn't it?
Yeah, this aired the same year and like 2 weeks before like a Garfield Christmas and Will Vinton's Claymation Christmas. Like it's that same kind of era of animated special.
Yeah, I mean, we watched it on YouTube. The version I watched, it was about 20 minutes long. The most unsettling thing about that was just there was one point where there were two commercial breaks 3 minutes apart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oof.
You got to think like one of those has to be like a news ad break and the other has to be an ad for like Domino's Pizza or something. But no, first impressions. What did you guys think of this thing?
I didn't hate it. I liked certain parts of it. It works as sort of a Christmas special with sort of a point. It actually has a real point to make, I guess. Sort of, and, yes.
And our place as a Christmas movie podcast that operates year-round kind of has to reckon with that point now, don't we?
It feels very on the nose. This is our reality that they're living in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is Pinball Man trying to tell us?
I want to ask you two a question, actually.
Okay.
How has your experience of Christmas changed since you've started doing this podcast? Or has it?
Mainly for me, I have to control myself about stepping in with way too detailed knowledge of Christmas movies when people talk about them.
Yes, that is a real struggle.
Because then I have to explain why the fuck I know so much about Christmas with the Cranks.
Why do I have a top five Christmas movies list in my brain at all times?
Why have I seen most, if not all, of the Talking Dog Christmas movies and only the Christmas ones?
Why have I suddenly become an aficionado in the Silent Night, Deadly Night series?
Because it's good. Well, two is good.
Yeah, yeah, this is true. Why do I that care was... so much about any of this?
That was actually the one it was about. Like, the people were talking about Silent Night, Deadly Night, and I had to stop myself from talking too much about parts 1 and 3 because they were talking about the Garbage Day stuff. And I was just like, you could just watch 2. 3 sucks. 2 rehashes all of the stuff you care about from 1. You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 really is the perfect film, isn't it? I say that with like a knowing wink, but that's kind of true. It gives you everything you need from like 2 entire films, and it's fully, thoroughly entertaining. But no, the sheer fact. So okay, let's break this down real quick. The story is about a little girl. Okay, so it's a family telling a father telling a story to his family on Christmas Eve, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
he's relating the story of their great, I guess it's their great grandmother or their grandmother. It's his grandmother 100 years in the past. So presumably the story takes place in 1887, right?
Yeah. I'll allow it.
His grandmother named Tilly is gifted with this little, it's like a Christmas castle ornament that she puts on her tree, and she makes a Christmas wish to it because it's supposedly magical. And she wishes that it would be Christmas every day forever and ever. And the Christmas fairy, who is voiced by somebody important that I just forgot.
Edie McClurg or Miriam Flynn, one of the two. I mean, it's either Grace from Ferris Bueller or it's Aunt Catherine.
It is Edie McClurg, yes.
Which one? She is...
She is the Christmas Grace. Fairy.
She's Grace.
Grace, yes. It's the mom from Bobby's World. But she grants Tilly's wish, but only for 1 year, because she knows good and well that no one's going to put up with Christmas every day for the rest of eternity. And then they set about doing the Christmas thing. So Christmas morning comes, the kids get a puppy for Christmas, everybody has lots of good food, it's great, they go to bed. Next morning, they get up, the kids get a puppy for Christmas, they have lots of good food, everything's great, and they go to bed, but they know something weird is going on. By day 3, everyone is completely over this. A third puppy enters the picture. More good food. Everyone has a good day, I suppose, but now, you know, things are starting to go awry. And then the dad tells us it was Christmas at Lincoln's birthday. It was Christmas at Washington's birthday. It was Christmas on Easter, and it was still Christmas on April Fool's Day. To which that made me stop and go, "Hang on, wait a minute. When was Easter in 1886?
Oh, God. You would, wouldn't you? You would, you sick.
I did. I definitely did.
All right.
Okay. Assuming this story takes place in 1886.
Well, here. Was it Christmas 1886? Because then April Fool's Day would be in 1887, wouldn't it?
Aha, but I've thought of that too.
Okay, God, you're the worst and the best. Thank you.
Well, Easter Sunday in 1886 was April 25th, but Easter Sunday 1887 was April 10th, still after April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
So Dad's story is bunk. I'm sorry, and we're out of here.
All right, good night, everybody. No.
Anywho, Christmas is continuing all the time into perpetuity. But the thing that's going on here is, so people are still celebrating Christmas, which means all of the turkeys get eaten up because they're having Christmas dinner every single day. All of the Christmas trees get cut down because they're having Christmas every single day, which I don't understand, but okay, I'll allow it.
Yeah, that one's, yeah.
Everybody's gifting everybody else Christmas gifts because Christmas is happening every single day, which is causing a gigantic drain on the economy. Everybody is becoming poor because they're spending too much money on Christmas. And I'm not extrapolating that. That literally happens in this special.
And now we get to the interesting part about all of this, and not about dates.
Not about me being pedantic.
Not about you being pedantic.
Brad, take it away.
It's about free will.
Okay, go on.
At first, when we get the reveal that Christmas is happening every day, you think, oh, okay, so it's like a weird magic thing, right? It's almost like a Groundhog Day type situation, right?
Yes, exactly.
They wake up, the food's already prepared, the presents are there. Great, good. But later, it throws a wrinkle into the story when we find out that people are going to the store and buying turkeys and cutting down trees and buying additional copies of the gifts they've already given. And now, my friends, we get into a very interesting question about free will. If right. Everybody hates doing Christmas every day, and yet they still need to go out and prepare and pay for Christmas every single day, are they under some sort of spell that keeps them from not doing Christmas anymore?
Yeah, what is compelling these people to continue with this charade?
Which is the most interesting question of this entire production. What is going on here?
I agree. Because there's two ways to look at this. It's like a monkey's paw kind of curse. There's two ways to look at this thing. It's either December 25th keeps happening in perpetuity. Every single day just resets and starts over. Or every day on the calendar is now Christmas Day. And that the second one is the one that they've chosen to go with here.
And I think that has a lot more problems from a storytelling standpoint. I mean, I get what they're going with like, oh, it caused a bunch of problems because, you know, stuff is running out. Sure. But then we get into the issue of people are doing this of their own volition. And also they're buying there's a scene where a woman's buying a turkey. She's buying it on Christmas Day to prepare for Christmas Day. Like, they know what's happening next.
Yes.
I don't like it. I like the Groundhog Day one better.
Right, because then at least it's Christmas every day for you, for whoever the story's happening to.
I think even if it was the Groundhog Day version, though, the moral would still remain the same because everybody would get bored of it, right?
No, because in Groundhog Day, nobody else knows that it's happening over and over again. It's just the one person.
Yeah, but it would be immoral for Tilly.
Here's a question. What if they do know, but it's like Wreck-It Ralph, where it's just like it's a living?
Well, the Christmas fairy has paid me $25,000 a year to continue with this charade, so I guess I'll take it.
I mean, I think that's kind of what it is. It's this sort of like mass hysteria where it's like, all right, well, tomorrow's Christmas, so I better prepare for Christmas on Christmas. I don't know, man.
It's the same like phenomenon as, fuck, dude, I don't know. Football?
I mean,
the big game is on Sunday. I gotta go out and buy salsa and chips.
I guess. I get what they're going with, but I think if they'd gone with the Groundhog Day one, it would be a little bit of a harder sell because if you're going to be Groundhog Day'd on any day of the year, Christmas is a pretty good day to be Groundhog Day'd.
Yeah, you don't got to go to work.
You get to eat. You already have a bunch of bomb ass food in your fridge. You get to hang out with your family, presumably all of the people that you love the most. Like,
but then I can see where the drama would come in, because like, oh, you had to unwrap the same present over and over again. You have to pretend to be thankful to the same people over the same present over and over again. And I understand how that monotony could become a nightmare of your own making.
Yeah, I think they just kind of tried to do a little too much with it. And I think the Groundhog Day approach would have been a better one, maybe. But then it All wouldn't. Right. But then it would have just been, I don't know. I get what they're doing.
What they're ultimately saying is, if Christmas happened every day, then Christmas no longer becomes special.
That's the moral of this story.
And, you know, I had to do a little bit of soul searching on this one because, man, it's kind of pointed directly at me and her, isn't it?
You guys never answered my question, by the way, of you answered how it impacts maybe your life throughout the year. But do you think doing this podcast increases or decreases the value of Christmas to you as a person when Christmas rolls around?
I personally don't think it decreases it, because once we're done with the Christmas season, we take generally a 3-week to 4-week break off from the show as we've done it, kind of put away last Christmas, decompress, and then just the calendar flips over and I just gear right back up for next Christmas. And like, I'm already thinking out 12 months ahead here. Yeah. So like, it's just, to me, the process just starts over, and like, it really hasn't changed much of how I celebrate the holidays at all.
Mm.
It's just now I have this extra thing that I do that I either can use to celebrate the holidays better or just torture you two with. And that's kind of on me. What I'm really trying to say here is I don't think it's affected the way I celebrate Christmas at all, because this is kind of what I asked for.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with it.
I like it.
My joke's on you, Monkey's Paw. This is what I wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't mind it. I think maybe it enhances my enjoyment of Christmas a little bit, because I know more about Christmas. I know more about trivia of Christmas. And it gets me thinking about it earlier in the year, and I get a little bit excited for it every time we do this podcast, which is nice.
See, that's what it's all about.
I mean, for me, it's... I'm a broken person, as we've gone into in the past. So for me, the movies are kind of disconnected from it, because the movies that are, like, if not bad, at least worth, you know, making some yucks about, it's like, well, that's just fun to do because they're silly, goofy, or bad movies, you know? And the ones that are good, they're good because they're good movies, you know? I don't think we really watch any movie that's, like, bad, but still, like, hold, like, a special place, because if it's bad, it's just bad, and that's the end of the sentence, you know?
Exactly. Mm. Well, and I think, too, kind of the nature of what we do and how we tend to choose our Christmas movies and specials and stuff, you know, we always kind of make the joke that it's a Christmas movie until we say it isn't. But that is kind of our excuse to talk about things other than Christmas on this show. And to, you know, if we ever do get tired of Christmas for a day, fuck it. We'll drag out the one James Bond movie that kind of sort of has snow in it. Or, you know, we'll talk about literally anything else. Hell, we specifically don't watch a Christmas movie for our Christmas Day episode for a reason. And it's because we're so sick of it at that point.
I mean, we got a wild hair up our ass and watched Hocus Pocus once, you know? Shit happens.
Yeah. Yes. So I guess all we're really saying is, you know...
Or we watched, what, The Last Boy Scout, where the most tangential, like, the most Christmassy thing happens is somebody draws a picture of Santa that shows up in one scene?
Yeah.
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 It happens.
And the reason we do that is so... some bottom feeder website out there can write a listicle about, you know, 12 Christmas movies you didn't know were Christmas movies, and then they'll link back to our podcast because, well, these guys say it is, so it must be.
That's where I get my content from.
Yeah. That's the dream, right?
Yeah. feed that SEO mail, man.
I have another question for you about this movie.
Okay.
And it's a very pedantic question. So let's presume that everybody's under some sort of mass hysteria, fugue state, mind control, whatever.
Fugue state.
Fugue state. Is it fugue? It's not fugue. Yes. Fugue state. Thank you. Learn something new every day. Anyhow, presumably this happens the world over, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, fuego state would be something different.
Fuego state.
Tierra del Fuego.
What happens? What's going on in places where they don't normally culturally celebrate Christmas every year? Are they doing Christmas now because of this?
Brett, are you asking, do they know it's Christmas?
Do they know it's Christmas time? I guess they wouldn't, because everybody would just do like whatever they do on Christmas, right? I guess.
Like,
I don't know.
So like, if you're Jewish, you just go to the Chinese restaurant every day?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going with this. Or yeah, or if you're in somewhere else in the world that doesn't really celebrate Christmas, it's just a normal day.
Or if it happens to be on the right year, like, well, I guess it's the first night of Kwanzaa again.
But for me, it was Tuesday.
Yes. it's the fifth night of Hanukkah over and over again.
800,000 crazy nights.
I don't know where I'm going.
That's an Adam Sandler movie I would be into. Is like a version of Eight Crazy Nights where it just happens over and over again to him until he tries to kill himself.
What if Eight Crazy Nights was 51st Dates?
Did I ever tell you a really fun tradition that one of my mutuals has?
No.
One of my mutuals on Twitter does every year in December, they do Eight Crazy Nights, and they watch Eight Crazy Nights 8 nights in a row.
See, that's like our brand of crazy, but like even I can't fathom doing that.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing that, but God bless them, they do it. It's ridiculous.
So
and they hand out awards for everybody who actually attends all 8 nights.
Oh, man. That actually sounds kind of fun now.
A little bit. But that's their thing. We got to come up with our own thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what you're asking is, like, is it December 25th every day of the year, basically? Because that's, you know, people who don't celebrate Christmas, like, well, it's... Well, if it's Christmas every day, it's like, well, I guess it's December 25th again. What do we do?
Well, we have an answer to that because there's a giant man... that for some reason in the town, there's a giant calendar, and the man... there's a man that goes and stamps it with a Christmas stamp every day.
Yeah.
And well, it's not December 25th. It's Christmas. It's so, Christmas so, every day. It's not, the title of the movie is not December 25th every day. The title of the movie is Christmas every day.
Okay.
Maybe that guy should stop fucking stamping shit.
Maybe it's his fault. Well, it's Tilly. We all know it's Tilly's fault.
Yeah, the banner says Tilly's fault.
The big banner. So,
Tilly's sister finds out that Tilly is the one who made this wish and cursed everybody to hell. And so her family tells the world about it by making a gigantic city-sized banner that says, it's Tilly's fault, and I love this.
And since this is like the 1890s, it has to be put up by like a hot air balloon or something.
Dirigibles. There's some good goofs in this, like where... she's running away from home, and there's that old woman on the porch. She's like, I'm running away from home. She's like, good.
That lady knows what she did.
And the same joke that other movies do, like 8-Bit Christmas do this, of just like swapping things on the fly as people are adjusting the story between the piano, the radio, and the television.
Mm-hmm,
and yeah. I'll allow it in this one because they're first now.
They are first.
They did it first. So, yeah. The end of the story is the Christmas fairy shows back up and says, like, I'm ready to make it Christmas every day forever and ever, like you originally asked. And Tilly replies, no, I don't want there to be Christmas ever again. And I wish they had made that sequel.
Bit of an overcorrect there, Tilly.
Bit of an overcorrect. And that's when you realize that this is an after-school special about taking all things in moderation.
Yes.
Hi, kids. I'm here to tell you about a drug called Christmas. Christmas is a fun sometimes drug every once in a while. But if you do it every day or twice a month for 8 years, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah, you know, you should take Christmas at special parties with special music. And make sure you drink lots of water.
And have a babysitter.
There's a time and a place for everything, and it's called college.
That's true.
That's Christmas every day, everybody. The last thing, I'll talk about a little bit about this as like a product. So this is a story that's actually been remade a bunch of times, fittingly for a story about Christmas happening every day. The first of which I was surprised to learn came from a TV show called Studio 57. Which,
as in Heinz.
As in Heinz 57. It's an anthology TV series of like one act, you know, 30-minute dramas produced by the Heinz Corporation for the Dumont Network.
Those fucking words, yeah.
I went down a whole weird rabbit hole about Heinz and Dumont today.
Yeah, this is where Leave It to Beaver's pilot was on.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. It, like, weird old TV history is neat to me. But also, so they did that. Then this special happened. Then this special was remade in 1996 as a made-for-TV movie for the Family Channel. Like a full feature-length Christmas Every Day special. Movie, excuse me. Then that movie was remade in 2006 as Christmas Do-Over for ABC Family. And I'm pretty sure at some point we looked at both of those and said, hey, wow, these have the same plot, not realizing that they are literally the same story. And I think at some point we said what we wanted to do was to just do episodes on each and every one of these in succession.
Is that what we're doing for the next 3 months?
I mean, I'm game if you guys are.
No.
Oh.
I personally really don't want to do this.
Okay, I thank you for saying it out loud what we were all thinking. Right.
Were there any fucking dog fart movies this year? What have we missed? It's Red Boxing Day. What did we miss this season?
That's a good question.
Did we do what was Netflix's big Christmas to do this year?
Oh, that was the Castle for Christmas thing where Carrie always has a castle and then Brooke Shields tries to buy it from him.
In English, please. Wait, what?
Okay.
Who are these people?
The guy from the Princess Bride is a Scottish lord, and he has a castle, and he's losing money on it, so he tries to sell it to this successful women's lit author who has some weird family connection to it. And guess what? They fall in love.
Oh, okay. All right. It's a rom com. Got it. Okay. Yeah. So they did a Lifetime movie this year.
I mean, they're Netflix. They are like Lifetime's direct competition at this point. Hmm. So, okay. I've got the list of all of Netflix's Christmas movies that came out last year. I'm going to read you these.
There are 27.
There are 13.
Okay.
There are 13 of them. I have made up one of them.
Oh, I like this game. I love it.
Okay.
So there are actually 12, and you've made up one, is what you're saying.
Okay. I may need to pare this down because 13 is kind of a lot. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
Give us 6 where one is made up.
Okay. I can do that.
All right. So I just want to say that, is it Robert Vince? Yeah, Robert Vince is letting me down right now. His most recent two listings are Pup Academy, which is Air Bud but school. And then Scaredy Cats, which is apparently three girls turn into cats and everything is Halloween themed.
My Hero Puppademia.
I'm like, none of these animals are doing sports or Christmas.
I ain't got nothing for that one. Disney is not in the buddies business right now, and for good reason.
Lay those okay. Netflix movies on us.
Here we go. A Boy Called Christmas, Love Hard, A Castle for Christmas, Single All the Way, Father Christmas is Back, and David and the Elves. Which one of those did I just make up?
Single All the Way. John.
Incorrect. Jonathan.
Oh.
Father Christmas is Back.
Incorrect. They're all real.
Trick question.
Trick question, Whoa. My dudes. They were all real. And that's just 6 of them. There are 7 more.
So you didn't actually make up one.
No, I didn't.
I love this.
Hit us with the others.
Thank you.
Okay, the others were The Princess Switch 3, Romancing the Star, Robin, A California Christmas, City Lights, 1,000 Miles from Christmas, Grumpy Christmas, a Naija Christmas, and Christmas again.
Is that the same? Also the same plot?
Let's see. Christmas again. Stuck in a time loop at Christmas time, a family man who hates the holidays starts to learn valuable lessons about what's truly important in life. See, this is the thing that we were talking about with Groundhog Day. This
so
is
it's
the
literally Groundhog,
Groundhog
Day at Christmas. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you ruined it. No, we're going to have to...
No, we're not. You know, we are not doing that.
Yeah, that's...
Why didn't they just make more dog fart movies?
Yeah, that's the surprising thing. I just named you all 13 of these. Not a single dog fart among them. That's
nothing
wild.
For the kids.
For the kid. Nothing
we've
for the
really
kids.
We've really left the children behind.
No, the no kids dogs. Got Home Sweet Home Alone, and they're going to like it, damn it.
Yeah, but that's on Disney Plus.
I know. So they got to go to Disney for their Christmas shit. Yeah, but that's Christmas every day. I think we're good to jump over to the crankometer where we rate these things. I feel a little bit bad taking this to the crankometer because it's such a short little special, but you know, we kind of reserve the stocking stuffers for TV episodes.
We did do Garfield Christmas as well, I believe.
That's true, we did do that.
Full fat episode.
But that is like a special of a TV show, though. I think it was first, but it has the same animation quality and style as the series that came after it.
True,
right. Or during it? I don't know.
But then
it was before it. It was right as Garfield was starting to get big, but before Garfield and Friends came out.
Right, like they started it out as a series of specials before they spun it off into a TV show.
Correct.
Kind of like Peanuts, which hey, we also did The Great Pumpkin. As a crankometer, so
yeah, okay.
Excuse me, hankometer. Get my facts straight here. Anyway, the crankometer is our patented XY axis for rating Christmas movies. The X axis is how Christmassy a film, or in this case, special is, and the Y axis is how good the film or special is. So, general friends, Christmas every day. How Christmassy?
It's pretty Christmassy.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. It's
yeah. It kind of gets across the message that they're going for is that Christmas is special because of what it is, and trying to make it something it's not.
Right.
Takes that away.
And yeah, and I think that's a perfectly valid lesson and a moral to convey to kids. This Wicked Weed, I swear, is doing a number on me.
Right, it's kind of like how a few years ago Walmart tried to make Easter like Christmas too. Like they were trying to put forth like buying like big like Christmas level presents for Easter.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like whole Easter baskets with like all kinds of stuff like pre-packaged into them. Yeah.
Weird.
That was a thing.
I had no idea.
You know, I like the style. I'm okay with this kind of sense of humor that it has. I appreciate the story that it's telling. I'm gonna say this is a solid 4. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is Christmas or quality?
Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah, I'll go with that. It has a nice kind of feel good ish message. Yeah.
Yeah. But then also, you're right. I guess I did kind of go into the Y axis with my thoughts there. But I definitely enjoyed it for what it is. It's a weird little 80s Christmas special that I had never heard of or seen before, and I think like I appreciate having seen it now, and I'm quality wise, I'm going to give this a 3, I think.
Yeah. I think another thing that kind of factors into both ratings is it's not overly preachy and doesn't beat you over the head with it. Like, I mean, it's very easy to grok what the message is, but it doesn't like come out full front and say it to your face multiple times, which is nice. Good job not doing that.
Yeah.
As the animation quality, like, you can at least tell what the hell's going on compared to, like, Cosmic Christmas.
That's where I was going to go, yeah. Like, I was going to directly compare this to Cosmic Christmas. Not in a good way, either. Like, this Head and Shoulders makes a truckload more sense than anything in Cosmic Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So, yeah, I think we're going to land on a positive 4, positive 3 on Christmas Every Day. That's a heck of a way to start out the new year.
Yeah.
It's a damn sight better than Rap City Street Kids, I'll tell you that.
Oh, be nice. Be nice to Rap City Street Kids. It never did nothing to you. Except showed you a good time.
Okay, that's fair. I
gotta... Christmas.
Oh, you. Yeah, the last thing I'm going to say about Christmas Every Day is, like, I noticed the credit at the end. Animation created and directed by Ed Newman and Monica Kendall. And that sent me down a whole other rabbit hole trying to figure out who the heck these people were. And it turned out it's like a little mom-and-pop animation operation run out of Chicago. These two animators just kind of working on little shorts and TV commercials here and there. And like their first, one of their first credits was they worked on Ralph Bakshi's Lord of the Rings cartoon.
It's like it's like an 80s small boo. I like it.
Yeah.
So the Calabash that exists now on that website, that's the same one, right?
Like it is.
With like the Hamburger Helper commercial, the DuckTales and everything.
It is, yeah. Apparently in 2005, that couple sold the studio off to like some of their employees, and now it's entirely employee run.
Oh, nice.
Neat.
So they kind of cashed out, and now they're living the good life. So I got to give them props, because that's a heck of a success story. But good for them. I appreciated this. I'm glad our friend Mike suggested this to us, because I had a good time with it, and I hope you did too. So if you want to check this out, we will put this in our show notes so you can go and watch it. And stay tuned for more Christmas Creeps coming soon in 2022. That's all I've got to say, because we're just getting this party started. We had to really do some serious reflection on who we are and why we do what we do here. But we are very bad at navel gazing, even though all we do is talk about ourselves. But if you want to send us anything at all, please tweet at us at Christmas Creeps on Twitter. Email us xmascreeps@gmail.com. Anything you want. Let us know what you think of the show. Let other people know that you enjoy the show. Go to iTunes and Spotify and basically everywhere you get podcasts, you'll find us. So leave us a star rating and a review. Final word, guys. What do you want to leave our good listeners with as we round out this episode?
Thank you so much for listening. Come back for more. We're always happy to dish it out if you can take it.
I also hereby apologize. I kind of promised to you guys that we would be in and out in under an hour, and we are scraping that limit right there. And this is an hour-long podcast, and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I had a wonderful time, and I hope you did too.
I did.
I'll kick your ass later. Not tomorrow, but like I'll remember it later.
But soon, and for the rest of my life.
No, just the once.
Okay.
Joe's going to tell you to show up in the bus lot of an elementary school and then just ditch you.
That's my signature move. Oh, for Christmas Creeps, I'm Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
And I'm Johnny Five, the human robot.
It was Tilly's fault. It could be Christmas every day.